God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 10, 1-4. We'll begin with verses 1 and 2. Brothers, I do not want you to disregard the fact that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The cloud Paul mentions is the pillar of cloud. By day, Moses says, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night, Exodus 13:21. It stayed with Israel for the whole time they were in the wilderness. It never departed until they arrived safely in the promised land. And of course, the sea is a reference to the entire nation passing through the Red Sea safely by means of a miracle. God divided the waters so that the people walked through on dry land with a wall of water on their right and on their left, Exodus 14:22. Paul calls this a baptism. First, because it involved the rescue of Israel by means of water, and second, because it was a type, that is, a sign signifying our own baptism. Just as the Israelites were led out of Egypt through the Red Sea, so also we are rescued from spiritual slavery to the hellish Pharaoh, the devil, as one of our Lutheran fathers said, through the saving water of baptism. And just as Pharaoh's officers and his whole horde were drowned in the Red Sea, so also the old Adam with all his sins and sinful inclinations is drowned in baptism, according to Romans 6:4 and Colossians 2 and so forth. The Israelites are also said to have been baptized in the cloud or by the cloud, that is, by means of the cloud, because the Israelites were bound by faith and obedience to God's protection and with the pillar of cloud. So in a similar way, we are protected and then bound by faith and happy obedience to Christ our Savior through holy baptism. Therefore, baptism here signifies the outpouring of the special gifts of the Spirit. It is a figurative use of the word baptize, and it does not mean the washing of repentance for the forgiveness of sins through which God introduced later through John the Baptist. Well, Psalm 107 says, I've been thinking about this tune kind of on and off all morning. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. Well, verses 3 and 4, back to Paul. They all ate the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Now Paul turns from the type of baptism that was given to the Israelites in the day of Moses to the type of the Lord's Supper that was given to them at the same time. The spiritual food was the manna and would include the quail that they ate along the way, but mostly it's the bread, and the drink was the water that came at various times from the rocks of the desert, especially at Massa and Meribah in Exodus 16, and again in Kadesh in Numbers 20, and yet again in the desert after the incident with the snakes in Numbers 21. Just as the children of Israel were fed with this heavenly bread, and they were given a drink from the water flowing from the rock, so also we are fed with the living bread that came from heaven, Christ's own flesh, and given a drink from his holy blood, which flows from his wounds, Isaiah 53:5, by his wounds we are healed. And yet again, just as the manna and the water from the rock were clearly a testimony of God's grace, so also Christ has offered and given his grace and blessings to us in the Lord's Supper. We can say the same thing about the sweet taste of the manna and the sweet deliverance through the supper, Exodus 16:31. Or the public consuming of the bread, since believers consume the bread together in public, worshiping from the one loaf for the benefit of their souls, 1 Corinthians 10:16-17. Or again, that the miracle of the presence of Christ in the bread and the wine is foreshadowed by the presence of the Lord, the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water, Psalm 114:7-8. Professor Tappe relates the rabbinic legend that a portion of the rock at Kadesh accompanied the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years and continually supplied them with water. But Paul corrects this notion. It wasn't that a physical rolling stone was chasing after Israel like a rocky shadow in the sand, gurgling and gushing with water wherever it went. No. The Israelites drank from the physical stone at Kadesh, but it was also the spiritual stone, Christ, that kept on giving them water and that kept them alive for 40 years. The physical rock symbolized the spiritual rock, which was Christ. In fact, it could not have been a physical rock that rolled or scraped along after them in the desert, because they got thirsty again in the very next stop. Yet the spiritual one, the rock who is Christ, gave them water to drink again and again. He was proving to them that they could rely on him, that God provides for all of their needs. The miracle in the desert, from the Red Sea to the entrance into Canaan, was in many ways the greatest miracle of the Old Testament. And yet, it's a small thing compared with the salvation that we have through Christ, the salvation that came through our baptism and through the Lord's Supper, all because of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God upon the cross in our place. This feast is manna, wealth abounding, unto the poor, to weak ones power, to angels joy, to hell confounding, and life for me in death's dark hour. Lord, may your body and your blood be for my soul the highest good. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.